We are back yet again with another exciting episode of the Mining Your Business podcast, the show all about process mining, data science, and advanced business analytics. Joining me, as always, is my friend and my colleague, Jakub. How are you today?
Hello, Patrick. I'm doing fantastic.
Nice. We're going to step outside of our comfort zone a little bit today, don't you think?
A little bit.
Because today we will be talking about chatbots, generative AIs, and unstructured data with Wolfgang Kratsch, co-founder of Credium and professor of AI at the University of Augsburg. Are you ready to talk AI?
Hell yeah.
All right, let's get into it.
Welcome to yet another episode of Minding Your Business. And today it's going to be a very interesting discussion because, you know, all around the internet, you can read about these ChatGPT bots that you input something, a question or a problem, and this artificial intelligence AI can actually solve it for you. And there are so many interesting things that are going on behind the scenes of this technology. And there's also a very interesting intersection with what is happening in the world of business processes and, you know, process mining. But before we dive into the topic, Patrick, I got a question for you. Have you ever used ChatGPT? And if you did, what did you use it for?
Oh, interesting that you ask. Yes, I have. And I used it to figure out some SQL joins and just to see if it could do them. And it recognized the tables I was talking about, joined the tables correctly in the right order. So yeah, I was had a bit of an existential crisis there for a little bit.
Well, I hope our job is still secure, but let's see with the new developments how it goes. I actually also have an interesting story, and that was when our colleague Marta actually posted this super cool, very nice song about our foosball we have in the office. In German, it's called Kicker. And I will just read the first note, which is table kicker at process end, where efficiency and strategy are at hand. Amidst the flowcharts and data streams, a game that makes the workday dreams. that's just beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Marta, I would say good job, but it wasn't you. So anyhow, this topic really resonates through the internet and everybody's trying it out. And there are so many interesting inputs and also outputs that you're getting from this technology. And now it obviously raises a lot of question, what can it do and where will it end? And to answer these questions, but also to put it a little bit into a context of what we are talking about in our podcast, which is process mining, we have invited today's guest, Wolfgang Kratsch. Wolfie, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me. Hello.
Wolfie, I have, I'll start with a very blunt question, and that is, will AI take over the world?
Yeah, so that's a question I hear really, really often. So I think it's hard to give really an answer to that. So
I was hoping you'd say no, of course not.
Maybe somehow, but I think generally not.
And what about our jobs? Patrick already mentioned that, he was able to create some nice joins and logic for whatever he's supposed to do at work. And now, an artificial intelligence can do it for him.
Yeah, I think we have to make use of AI in a smart way to support us in our jobs, to maybe get our work done in maybe a shorter time, or have more time for maybe other topics, maybe more interesting topics. That needs our human creativity. So I think that's the way we should look at all these AI topics.
So more meetings.
I'm not sure whether that's really the creative part of the work.
I hear it's very creative to always meet and discuss and align. Love the word alignment. Don't think I've ever heard it before I started working in consulting. But here we are. Wolfie, so could you tell us a bit about yourself? Because when a person takes a look at your LinkedIn page, there is actually a lot of institutions that you're currently working for. You are even a co-founder of a company. And before I even get into those topics, I just wanted to also thank Laura Marcus, who connected us in the first place because we got to meet in Celosphere last year. So Laura, if you're listening, thank you for that. And I hope your thesis or your research is almost done, because you know, you're in line next for the guest. So Wolfie, back to you. What is it that you do currently?
Yeah, so maybe I can give a short a short summary of all that organizations and stuff that's listed on LinkedIn. So and to be honest, since last week there is some new organization also in there that's not already listed at LinkedIn. So last week I'm a professor for applied AI at the Technical University of Applied Science at Augsburg. So that's my current job. But I also serve at Fraunhofer FIT in the branch of Maximilian Röglinger. I guess you also had him at the podcast. Yeah. And he was also my PhD supervisor. So there's closing the circle at that point. And so that's my scientific part. And I'm also a really applied researcher. That's why I'm really interested to bring things to work and in organizations and not just writing some papers in an ivory tower. And that's why I did also co-founded a startup that is really helping to digitize processes in some specific domain. That's the building domain. And I think that's somehow a wrap up of my person.
Mm-hmm. You also have then here that you're the co-founder of Creedium. Can you mention a little bit what that is?
Yeah. So Creedium, that's what I just talked about. The building analytics startup. So there are the ideas that there are multiple data sources out there, for example, satellite imagery, but also official data from the states. And all the data is able to describe a single building in really, really detailed level. And if you have that to call it digital twin of a building, then you are able to digitize all the building related processes really easy. So for example, if you have some building insurance or some building financing processes, there nowadays you extract all the relevant information out of multiple all out of tons of papers, and there's listed all the properties and all the specifics about a building. And with our digital twin of the building, you can extract that directly in a digital way, and then really speed up your processes.
So does it mean that it's basically serves as an input into some data-driven decisioning when, let's say, an insurance company is deciding what should be the price of their insurance for your little flat or your house, and gives you, you know, the firepower to actually defend this?
Yeah, exactly. So that could be one use case. And so, for example, one customer we already have, it's an in insurance domain. And there, typically, if someone wants to get an insurance for his building, then you have to input multiple data. For example, the living space of your apartment and where is it located and all that stuff, or the building age. And you have to do that as a manual input. And with our solution, you can just provide your address of the building, and then we match all the data we get from different data sources. And we have for sure also to pre-process and also use somehow AI, because it's also some kind of unstructured data. But we can directly forward that to the company, and then all the data is already there. And the customer just have to input his address, and then the output is there.
Yeah, I bet that every data nerd that's listening to our podcast is suddenly getting excited about all these options. I have, however, a bit different question, and that is, how do you combine work in a private sector, running a company with academia? Because knowing academics, they are pretty busy.
Yeah, so I think you have to identify synergies between all of different areas, the startup, but also the scientific work, and it has to contribute together. And so that's also the startup or the spin-off we created directly was an output of our research of one of our research projects, and then we it was quite close together the topics, and that's how. Also, we do now projects together. So it's Fraunhofer is some really, really applied scientific institution. But it's it stops when you want to realize something at a customer, and there our startup can jump in and be the realization partner for all that stuff. And that's why you can see that some synergies you have to make use of, and then it works out at the end.
Mm-hmm. Now, where in all of this fits process mining?
Yeah, that's also an interesting question. So I guess also from my research direction, I would say I'm situated in the intersection of data science and process science. Mm-hmm. So because I studied information systems, so it's also not too technical, but yeah, the technique is quite important. But you have still the human factor in it and mm-hmm. the organizational factor. And that's why I started with classical business process management research, and then realized, you have always to analyze the context of the process. Yeah. And their data is quite important to describe that context. And I think Credium is for that specific domain, the building analytics domain, is one part that can bring context to also process analytics. And because at the end, everything is a process. Also at the building insurance and at building financing and other players in that area. And that's why process mining is at the end, for me, the technology to analyze all the data points I gather.
So you've mentioned insurance and finance with tracking a building and all the space and all the things that come along with a specific address. Do you foresee that this technology being used in other contexts outside of finance and insurance, or one that you might be really excited about maybe trying?
So you mean our technology at Credium mm-hmm. we are building up? Yeah. So at the end, we are quite we are not really domain specific. So we are just trying to build up some platform for analyzing buildings in an easy way to not have all that data pre-processing hassle. And I think there are applications or use cases in several domains. For example, we have also the public sector with all the transformation of the building stock and the sustainability topics. And there we are also quite in huge context. But the go to market was easier in the classical the classical domain at the building sector. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, Wolfie, you mentioned that you became a professor of AI. First of all, congratulations! If it's a new feat,
that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And my next question would be actually about this intersection. Mm-hmm. Where do you see AI can play a major role when applying process mining?
Yeah. So I think that's, in general, that's a really interesting question about what's the relationship of AI and process mining. Mm-hmm. And I think there you will also get several answers if you ask again the community as in your last episode about business intelligence process mining.
I think we love diversity.
Yeah, and controversy.
It's kind of a similar topic, but I guess so also the research I do at process mining is a bit more about the use cases looking in the forward, so not in the past, but seeing what is in for the future if you analyze all the data you gathered about the past. And there AI is really key to make good predictions. So I think that's that's now the tool to use when you want to make good predictions. But also I think if you also want to make the scope a bit broader, not just process mining but BPM in total, then I think AI is also a tool to really bring process mining to other activities in business process management, not just coming up with or discovering a process or measuring the performance of a process, but also maybe improvement of processes. And there AI can bring in new capabilities.
Can you give us an example? How do you specifically mean that?
Yeah, so for example, we wrote some papers about using generative AI. So same technology as ChatGPT, mm-hmm. which is quite in discussion right now, to make use of all the event data to generate better processes. So that's the basic idea. And I think that's can show the direction of where can it going to really support to come up with a better process model and not just with some insight that there might be a bottleneck or there might be a problem, but directly come up with a suggestion for a solution. So that's what we try to do with bringing more AI capabilities into the process mining, process analytics sphere.
Mm-hmm. I think we will try to build up this bridge into this topic and where it actually meets those parts. And I still want to get back a little bit on this ChatGPT, which we mentioned at the beginning. And I guess having you here, a professor of AI, is probably the best person who can tell us and tell the audience what it actually is. And especially what I'm interested in, how do you personally see this usage in a relationship to business processes? So you mentioned already the beginning of your recommendations, but I'm sure it can do so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe first the question, what is it?
Yeah, what is ChatGPT even?
Yeah, so maybe if you just look at the name of this model, so GPT, it stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. So generative, I already talked about, that's some new kind of AI. So not just coming up with predictions or coming up with some clustering of your existing data, but generating new data. So that's new type of AI. And pre-trained means it's already usable out of the box. So you don't have to bring all your data, your annotated data, that was a huge barrier of applying AI and in past. So you have now something that you directly can start with. So that's pre-trained. And Transformer, that's kind of a specialized architecture of deep neural networks that allows the model to decide which data points are important and which are not at all important. So it can also neglect data points. And that's the huge power it gains. So it can really understand what is important and what to focus on.
So, I mean, chatbots have been around for a while. I mean, the most basic ones respond to basic input that you are predefined and then gives you some predefined answer back. And now there have been some attempts to do some chatbots, like I think Microsoft Tay or something was a couple of years ago on Twitter or something like that. And so it has been really a slow progress, or a pretty fast progress actually, but what makes ChatGPT so much different than all those that came before it? What makes it stand out? Why is it so popular all of a sudden?
Yeah, I think it combines somehow this generative AI component that is pre-trained with a huge amount of data, tons of data, with the conversational aspect, because you already had these generative Transformer models before. So there was GPT-3, for example, last year. It was also quite popular, but not so in a broader audience. It was just in a technical audience. And now this conversational aspect that was added by the ChatGPT, I think that brings it to a situation where it's quite applicable to multi-purpose use cases. So it's not a specific model built up for a specific problem, but you can just conversate with it in a natural language and solve multiple problems. And I think that combination of the really easy natural conversation with that bot and have all the power of these huge language models, I think that's something new.
Mm. Being a professor and having all this this knowledge about the inner workings of how this thing really works and how this operates, seeing a lot of these use cases on what people post on YouTube and Twitter and all the social medias about what all the things that they have gotten it to do, does it at some point surprise you, or is it just like, yeah, we knew that this was going to happen and it was just a matter of time and it's finally here? Or is it more that it's surprising you?
I think the answer is twofold. So I think if you just think about that and what is based on ChatGPT, then it's quite clear to me that it has this power. So, but now I think what is new is the community is growing so fastly, and that's why you have so many use cases that are explored from from also non-technical people. And I think that's maybe here also the point that, yeah, there are so, there's the exploration is so done by so multiple people with from different angles. Mm-hmm. And that's why it surprised me also at the end, because I think some people are trying out totally different things than I do. And I mm-hmm. think that's maybe also the really fast progress we're doing in exploring that technology right now.
Yeah, well, I usually ended up on, I don't even know what I want to ask. So, but that's my problem. Wolfgang, speaking of chatbots in general, I remember, you know, when I am using or interacting with a chatbot, it's usually on some kind of FAQ or on a website with a mobile operator where I'm struggling with my tariff because I didn't get charged or got charged too much or want to cancel something. And it's ridiculous because it's going through this, this like a map where it just tries to mm-hmm. point you towards a right end and then just connect you with the right operator who knows who you are and knows what problem you have. So I guess this is how we know the bots from the past and possibly also from the present. Can you tell us about where we are currently with chatbots being used in processes, and why is even a chatbot such an interesting tool to have when executing a process?
Yeah, so I guess what you're describing is totally the situation where we are at the moment with mm-hmm. chatbots and processes. So that's the typical use case if you have some service call, for example, and the first answering your phone is some bot really just routing you through some some predefined rules, and that's still there out there, mm-hmm. but now what will be possible with ChatGPT, for example, is to really have some more agile bot in there that is able to dynamically get your problem and also just react on what you are saying. So that's really the new thing about that. And I think that's also the huge opportunity if you take this technology in the next gen process my or BPM bots to say, then it should be able to serve as a personal process assistant to you. So I think that's somehow our vision. If you maybe just remind yourself at these this Excel support in former times, I think Windows XP
You mean Clippy? It looks like you're Clippy. Trying to add a number. Exactly. Would you like some help?
Exactly, Clippy. So I think the idea of Clippy wasn't bad, but I think the technology behind was not that good to really assist you in a appropriate way. But now we are at this point that we have some technology in place that is able to react in an agile way on your input. And I think that shows the direction of where it can go into, that you maybe don't have to interact with so many applications and stuff in your process, but that there is an assistant that connects maybe the different applications and reacts to your input and makes your life hopefully much easier.
Mm-hmm. I just recently saw a very, very funny meme, which actually was featuring Clippy. There was this Scooby-Doo meme when the guy wants to take off the mask of the bad guy, right? And he's saying, let's look at who this GPT, ChatGPT really is. And then he just pulls it out and he sees Clippy from a good old
park. That's a good one.
We'll definitely post it on our channel so you can laugh with us as well. What I wanted to ask, though, is if we are looking at this typical process, let's say the service, customer service, right? You have a problem with your cell phone or with the tariff that you are prepaying. So it's still a process. We could mine it. We could visualize it. You would have the start when the customer, calls, and then there will be these points either being directed through this chatbot or then, some interaction with the customer service, and then something happens and the case is closed. How would you utilize this if you mined this process? How would you utilize these data points and this info that you're getting utilizing process mining to feed the chatbot and improve it? And how would it actually look like then?
Yeah, so I think what you can do, and also what we did in a paper, first to somehow develop an approach to make all the data that is generated by a conversation with the chatbot applicable to process mining. So to extract all the data points to have really the overview how the process is running at the end, to be able again to discover your process model behind, and then maybe also see how the chatbot is reacting to the user input, because I think that's also quite important to understand if maybe your process also is changing, yeah? And then you can use also that information to redesign or improve your process at the end, or maybe also your chatbot.
So I was always wondering about user input and learning from user input for chatbots, because I'm not sure about you guys, but whenever I speak to someone on the phone, I basically know, hey, I'm going to introduce myself, here's my problem, and then they're going to ask me some question back and all these things. I kind of know how that conversation is going to go. But when it's a chatbot, I am not certain what the best way is to feed it the things that I need to give it so it figures out my problem. Like, is it just keywords that I can put in? Am I supposed to write in sentences? Am I supposed to say, hello there, Mr. Chatbot, and I'm blah, 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 and like follow the same conversation style that I would a normal human, right? So is there some, like, I'm sure the space of all the conversations that can happen in a chatbot is wildly different to someone speaking on the phone.
Yeah, I think that's also depending on which chatbot technology you are using at the end. So if you are using an advanced chatbot, such as ChatGPT, for example, it's quite natural language model. And that's why you can interact with a chatbot quite in a natural way, as you would do it with a human being. But I totally got your point. So there are also chatbots that are quite rule-based and just react on some specific keywords and stuff like that. I think that's heavily depending on technology behind.
Do you foresee that chatbots will be like, will also have a voice element to it? So you can, instead of like typing something, you just call somebody and it's basically a simulated voice, because we have AIs for voices right now for singing and a whole bunch of other things as well, right?
It's called Siri Patrick.
Okay, yeah, but it doesn't sound so robotic. It could almost be a human being, right?
So I think that's quite an interesting topic, and I think that's also building a bridge to the other applications or use cases of generative AI to really generate, for example, also the deepfakes. I guess that's the negative part about that, but I think that shows that you are able to really emulate voices that are really, really similar to the real ones. And that's why maybe it shows also that chatbots, if you add some user interface of a natural language, a natural voice, and on top of it, then it can really, really interact as nearly same to a human being. And I think that can also lower the barrier to really integrate that technology to as a normal process actor at the end.
Now, one of the core ideas behind process mining and, you know, business process management in general is making your processes more efficient. And interestingly, I think more people who are listening to the podcast will be probably more familiar with processes such as purchase to pay, accounts payable, and the big four, how I like to call them, rather than, actually everybody probably called a mobile operator at some point. However, how would you integrate a chatbot into, what would be the questions or ideas if you wanted to integrate a chatbot to support your, efficiency and support you with the correct business decisioning essentially behind every process that you implement? I guess there has to be some core concepts, core questions that you should ask at the beginning to be even able to design a support chatbot that can help you with a proper execution of, I don't know, purchase to pay or accounts payable process.
Yeah, I think at the end you have to ask yourself whether it's really reasonable to introduce a chatbot on that specific process, because when the process is quite clear and quite modeled in a proper way, and you don't need really that bit more open conversation compared to other user interfaces, then I think it makes no sense to add a chatbot on that side of the process. But maybe it would make sense to integrate it in a management of that process. So if you ask yourself, how can I improve maybe that process? And then you can use the chatbot and maybe as input to use all your procedures and stuff that describing that process, and ask the bot, for example, ask ChatGPT, what are your suggestions to improve the process at the end? So I think that's where the intelligent chatbot can come in also in that really standard processes, to say.
I guess one of the biggest issues that we have, or I would say anyone who wants to deploy such a solution, would be unstructured data. Because it's not only a process data that you want to feed your chatbot with, right? It's going to be so much more. And my question is probably first, if you could tell us what unstructured data even is.
Yeah. So unstructured data, I think there's also not really a really common definition of that. So where is the barrier of structured to unstructured data? So I think, but from my point of view, the unstructured data, there's not really a data scheme behind. So the data is there in a really unstructured way. For example, image data or sound data. So that are data points, and the data scheme does not really make sense in the application domain. So there are just some pixels, for example, some pixel values, for example, of an image. But you can make use of all the data because it describes maybe the context of something. If you have, for example, a process and, for example, a production process in some production environment, and there you have some camera filming all that production environment, then each pixel of the camera image can somehow add or help you to understand what is going on there. And that's why we think that unstructured data also can help to add some context information that might be important to really understand where the process is going.
So, yeah, Patrick, go ahead.
So, do you mean that as more as a metaphor, or do you actually think like a specific pixel can help you figure out something in your process? Like if the pixel is all of a sudden orange, that means there's a fire, so my plant is burning down. Or
yeah, exactly. So that's the point. So I think in advance you are not really aware of what this pixel is meaning. So there's no defined meaning in the data model. So that's the important part here. That's why it's really unstructured, can mean everything. But if you bring it together with the structured process information, then it can make sense to incorporate also that information. And that's why one stream of our research is also to incorporate these unstructured data to really understand what is happening there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So if at any point something, we don't really know the connection, there's a whole bunch of data, it's seemingly unconnected, but if whatever, at some point this is orange, that means our production goes down 5% or something. Maybe you can look into that, but these things seem to be correlated, right?
For example, or you can also another example, if you have go back to maybe some call centers or something like that, then you have also that if you just take the recording of the phone call, then you can extract the meaning with some NLP models and stuff like that, some
sentiment analysis or something.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's the interesting point, that you can also extract from the voice of the person speaking. Maybe is the person angry, or might there be a problem or something like that? And that's also really important context information if you wanna predict the outcome of the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I think there's really, really much value in unstructured data and mining that unstructured data.
So what it seems like is almost as if we are doing the typical process mining implementation and we just read this ERP data from the system and we define those a few, maybe dozens of activities, we are still lacking quite a bit. And there is still so much, I would almost say, gold hidden in those unstructured data that you're talking about, that could relate, but could also maybe doesn't mean anything really, to enhance the process and get even more data fed in into this, you know, decisioning about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's what you call that. There are so many blind spots in the system. And you are, for the moment, you are mining mostly the ERP data. And that's at the first glimpse, it's really the most important data to describe your process. So that's totally clear. But there might be also something in between. So maybe there are also some activities that are totally manually or that are done in other systems that are not, not recording some event data. And there's so many data points that are falling behind. And, but if you at the end want to really have some good prediction of the process as some, where is it going in the future? And that might be really the important data points that you need then to analyze. And I think that's the point where you need more research.
I mean, at some point, I think, that was kind of, I mean, in classical process mining, we also have then the task mining stuff where we look at the non-ERP related data, that is the actual clicks and strokes of the keyboard and all that stuff. But that still tends to be more structured data then, right?
Yeah, so I think it depends. So if you just have some clickstream data, then it can be also somehow unstructured, because I think there are also various ways of fulfilling some tasks. There are multiple buttons that are doing the same. And maybe you have also some other activities at a desktop that are not related to your task at the end. But I think it's a similar approach, but more in the physical world. So not all takes place at your desktop at the end. You have also some larger areas, some production halls or some logistic processes or something like that. And there you might be interested in more data points.
So it's almost, if you were saying, if this person goes to have a meeting for 30 minutes and then makes a coffee in between goods receipt and posting of invoice, the posting of invoice gets usually delayed by 2 days because the person forgets about this.
Exactly. So you might be also interested in the lock of the coffee machine.
Ooh, GDPR. I'm not so certain we can do that anymore.
Yeah, but this generally, it feels extremely overwhelming, because to enrich the process with these amounts of data, and you could literally fill them, that everything. First of all, you have to get the data somewhere, then you have to also process it, and then you can also get a lot of noise into the data. How do you even look at this?
Sure. Yeah, so that's why maybe... I think that's the point why it's not really, really in practice at the moment, and still a point for research, because we need some concepts to abstract the data, to really, bringing that data to the business level, because we wanna correlate that at the end with our event data we got from ERP systems, and typically it's on a totally different level if you take some sensor data or some other unstructured data. And that's why a lot of research is going on there to really abstract the data. And also, I think as an information system researcher, it's also the question of, is it really worthwhile to integrate a certain data source? Because it's also comes with some costs, some investment. And I think you always have to answer that question. Makes it really sense to integrate the data in my specific use case. And I think that's also really important to do research there.
Would you maybe have an example where you could say that an external system that gives you this perspective of unstructured data actually enriches the process in a statistically significant way?
Yeah, so I think... the processes or the domains where So I guess in the domains of automotive production, for example. There you already see in the quality assurance that they are using a lot of camera systems to track the pieces they are producing and do some quality assurance. And they already output data also in a structured way at the end. And you can already make use of that if you combine that with your process data you get at the ERP side. Then you already see which instances are at the end produced in the right way and which instances might have a quality problem. And I think that's there you can get the idea how powerful it could be to bring these types of data together.
How do you technically then process it? How do you actually insert this data into process? Because we all know how process mining event log looks like. It's something you have, you know, you have your case, you have the time that an event happened, and then you suddenly have some camera. I can't imagine how difficult it has to be to even connect this image to a correct item that is probably now being pushed through an assembly line.
Yeah, I think that's also at the end the correlation of the data data points. I think that's the most the hardest part, because all the computer vision capabilities, they are out there, so you can track all the objects in really a good way, a really accurate way. And there are powerful models out there that you can make use of. Maybe you have to train them somehow on the specific environment, but at the end, you can get all the event data out of the video. And then you have to first find your traces. So where does the trace start and where does it end? And what's the new instance at the end? So I think that's the first hard part. And then really to correlate that and connect that with your ERP data, that's the second part. And you might have some timestamps to connect it. So that's one part that's possible. And there might be also some other information, some other sensors, some RFID technology, for example, that's also makes sense to connect. But I think that's quite a difficult topic and it's tackled by research still.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the times, if you put your luggage into like a conveyor belt at the airport, you know, it scans the barcodes and all these things, so it pretty much knows exactly, or it should tell you where your luggage is at all times. But I know that's not always the case.
So at the airport, that's for example also a quite good application domain for bringing video analytics into process mining, because there is, for example, also the plane, if it's standing at parking position, then you can track if the door is open, and all that stuff, and then really connect it to the data that is gathered by the systems in the airport at the end. And that's just one example where it can go to.
I still find it fascinating that we are actually able to tell whatever is happening just through the pictures and analyzing those pictures and videos. What I also wanted to ask, and maybe going a little bit to those chatbot examples and the AI, is that suddenly, if let's say we move a few years ahead, we have this process which is enriched by these vast amounts of data of unstructured form. And suddenly there is some AI giving us hints and tips on how to execute these processes to be more efficient, to prevent certain mistakes, to prevent bottlenecks or reworks. If you say this to a person who has no grasps of the technology that is behind it, and probably even to a person who actually has a decent grasp of it and is just afraid of it, how do you even persuade them that receiving this sort of information and acting in accordance to this recommendation is actually a way to go?
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
It's a tough one. Basically, what I'm asking is that suddenly you create this almost a black box, which consists of a lot of data, structured and unstructured. And you have this chatbot and you ask, what should I do about order XYZ order to receive the goods in time? And then suddenly you get some form of output, which can tell you, you should change the color of the box, because suddenly, you know, this is the sort of information that the system extracted, and you are completely speechless, because how does color of the box, what does it do anything? How do you even go and start trusting it, and how do you even process a human being this type of information?
I see. Yeah, I guess that's also maybe the biggest problem of technologies like ChatGPT at the moment. So I think we have several examples also posted on LinkedIn and somewhere that it fails also somehow. Mm-hmm. And but it's really, really, really optimistic about the answer. So it really, it's self-confident. And it sounds like, yeah, that must be true, but at the end, it isn't true. Yeah. And that's really, really a problem. And at the end, it's a black box. And that's maybe what you would need to really integrate that in a productive system, to provide also measures about the uncertainty of the generated output, to really make the user understand what's the uncertainty of the answer, and can I trust it, or is it not trustworthy? So I think that's the most important part, and it's what would be also good to really to unlock the black box at the end, to really provide a feeling how and why the result is generated in that way. So I think that's also a possibility of supporting there. But at the moment, I would agree that it's really difficult to apply that technology in a productive way.
I mean, I think that would be very interesting to see if you asked, or it gave you a suggestion like you should cancel this PO, and you ask, well, why? And he said, well, I saw 3 pixels that were blue. So that's how you know, right? So yeah. I think with this advent of all this unstructured data and all these things, where all these decisions could be coming from, I think it might raise more questions than it would be answering. But my question was going to be, is there research done in your field about biased data? And specifically, for example, if we were to look at the call center example again, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing how angry someone is, right? You have to first categorize that, and everybody feels emotions differently. So the categories might be dependent on the people that are listening, right? So
exactly. So that's also a quite important point to provide answers or information about the bias of the training data. And that's also a problem of these big black box models, because we know they have been trained on huge amount of data, but we do not really exactly know what data is behind. And maybe some classes or some space or domains are maybe underrepresented in the training data, and that's why in a generated output, they will be also underrepresented. And that's a huge problem. And there's a lot of research going on also in that sphere. But I think that's also necessary if you really want to use all the technology with a good purpose at the end.
I'm assuming you can ask ChatGPT how biased it is, and it will know.
Yeah, you can ask, but I think the answer they wouldn't be so
so accurate.
yeah
Could the AI even go the next step and like go crazy completely, like behaving unpredictably without any reason? And I know this is probably more of a question for a philosophy, but I still had to ask.
I think that's we have to ask that question. And I think especially if you have some conversation model, if you can interact with the model, as with ChatGPT, for example, then there's always the possibility that it turns into the wrong direction. And I think we read about several points that OpenAI or also Microsoft, they try to prevent that. And it's, I think with ChatGPT, it's, they did a quite good job. But it can be always some new development, some new way to interact with that, to break also this kind of preventions they did. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's really, really tough point to tackle.
Mm-hmm. Now, Wolfie, looking into the future, what are the topics that are getting you the most excited about? What will you focus on your research? And what is the topic that you want to uncover the most?
Yeah, so maybe concerning the world of chatbots, I think that's twofold. So I think we are really interested to have possibilities to integrate all that newly generated data by conversing with the chatbots, and to integrate that in your information or process analytics. So that's one part. But second, also to make use of that technology in the classical business process management to support all the business process management lifecycle, all the activities you have there. And I think, there is also much to do because it's quite traditional field at the moment. There's process mining somehow, but interrupting that also interacting with the traditional management field. But in general, I think there is a lot to do, and that's why I'm also quite optimistic to contribute also there with AI and chatbots.
So if we go back to our favorite guy in the whole world, Clippy. So back in the day, Clippy was fairly rudimentary and the adoption was low because it was mostly a pest rather than an actual help.
Yeah.
And now it has taken from that, it has evolved so much that it's AI is now doing so many things that we didn't even dream of things that it could do. So do you think, looking into the future in 5-10 years, do you think we as people in business or it just generally are ready for this new advent of highly generative AIs?
Yeah, I think that's also a bit kind of philosophy, this question. So I guess we in a different context we already have some kind of these systems. If you take for example Siri, or if you take Amazon Alexa or something like that, then you're already interacting with such systems in your daily work, but more in the private field. Yeah. Hmm. And if you for example also see how Tesla is building up their cars, so there's also a lot of actions triggered by just a voice assistant. So there's no button at the end to open your frunk or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just voice control. And I think that will be also be used more and more in the business, but I think it takes time. And at the end, it's always some question of change management, and also of how to really interact with human beings. It's just not really replacing them. I think that shouldn't be the target, and I think that's also not really a good way, but to integrate with human beings in the best way.
Mm. I think it's really interesting because the two examples that you mentioned were examples of when we tell AI to do something, but like with these how can I make this process more efficient, it's AI telling us to do a specific thing, so the roles are a little bit reversed, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, that's true. So the generative part to really accept answers or also just output from an AI, I think that's gonna be interesting how we really accept that also in now business. Or I think we already have it somehow. For example, Outlook somehow suggests me to answer in some short way, just okay, or I read it, or I think that there have been something out there. And I think that's just the beginning, and maybe we will see that it helps us to really get done our routine tasks, our standard tasks, and then maybe we will accept more and more, and maybe also integrate it in more creative work at the end, or creative tasks. But that will be quite interesting how it really looks like in 10 years.
We are almost out of the time. Last question I have for you. Where can people find you if they want to chat more about chatbots with you?
So for sure, I'm really, really open to connect via LinkedIn. I think that's nowadays the best and the fastest way to connect. And then, for sure, really, really open to have some sessions, also discussion sessions with some conferences I join, or mm-hmm. I think we met at Cellosphere, for example, Jakub. Mm-hmm. I think that's, and or the ICPM, I think we will also be there. So oh, cool. That's possibilities to meet in person, but to connect, just LinkedIn and reach out.
Yeah, I think next ICPM is in Rome, and Patrick, exactly. not sure about you, but I don't think I'll let this one slip.
Ooh, yeah, can't let it go. No.
Yeah, can't let it go. Lofi, thank you very, very much for joining us in our podcast. It's been a pleasure and also a lot of fun and quite an insightful discussion into how chatbots really work like and advantages and pros we can extract from incorporating them into our business process management. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much for having me.
I also thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in on another episode of Minding Your Business podcast. As usual, we are eager to know what you think and how you like the show. So leave us a comment, interact with us on LinkedIn, or just send us an email on mindingyourbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. We will be looking forward in 2 weeks' time with a special episode with, I will probably leave this for later. So see you or talk to you in 2 weeks. Thank you. Bye-bye.